Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, when I talked about the kids on the campus putting up the wanted posters for professors, administration, members of the board, simply because they're Jewish, I'm now a paid troll for Zionism, and I ought to go to work for Trump, according to someone else, because I sound just like him, because we should be holding these people accountable. They're putting folks at risk. That's not what's supposed to go on at a university. We've lost sight of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. You're free to say what you want. They provide space to do so, but it's not enough. It's got to be more. And they have to be an impediment to everyone else. Thankfully, the vast majority of these students follow the rules, follow the procedures, follow the law. But when those that decide to do otherwise, they need to be held accountable. Now, if that makes me sound like Trump, so be it. Maybe that's why he won. Being held accountable. And, you know, I know everybody's going to say, well, he's a convicted felon. Well, he was tried and convicted, but the case is not over. It goes through the appellate process. He has that right. He continues to be innocent until proven guilty, meaning once it goes through this whole process, it is what it is. Haven't spent time defending Donald Trump. He's going to make mistakes. I think he made a mistake yesterday or the day before when he announced that he's nominating Matt Gaetz to be the attorney general. Just because you're a lawyer, I don't know that that is enough to qualify you for that job. Just because you were engaged in oversight hearings, I'm not certain that that qualifies you for that job. You are in charge of investigative agencies. You're in charge of semi-regulatory agencies. You are in charge of a number of different activities in that organization that I think is far greater than the experience set that Matt Gaetz has. Matt Gaetz tends to have a lack of emotional intelligence as well. He gets on something and he's off and running. You can't have that in an attorney general. You're there to protect people's constitution and civil rights. Sometimes the law stands in the way of what your own personal beliefs are, but the law is what prevails. Not what you think, not what you feel. And you want to have a more measured individual, I think, just my humble opinion, in that role. And so, some of the other appointments, I don't have a problem with them. But this one particular one, and not to mention that he's got ethics violations that seem to be problematic, so much so he resigned in the hopes that that report under the rules doesn't get released. So there's never a public condemnation of his conduct that's brought about as a result of an investigation. I don't know about you, but I don't believe in coincidences. Because I think he knows what is going to be released. In fact, he's probably already seen a copy of the findings. So he knows exactly what's out there. Now, unless this is some game that they're trying to masterfully play, I don't know, that this is what we should do as the leader of the greatest country in the world. I don't think that people voted for him to be a game player. I think they voted for him to be very direct, to understand what it is that he was trying to accomplish, and to go about accomplishing it, plain and simple. Speak in a plain language and just keep moving forward and trying to do what you desire to do within the confines of the law and move forward, plain and simple. So I don't know, it's interesting that people can be judged and characterized just because of their race or their gender or otherwise, and they can't point to any activity that people have engaged in to suggest that they would come close to being worthy of these labels that folks want to throw out there on a whim. We seem to not recognize that we have a huge obligation to ourselves, to society at large, and the like, and, while we exercise our free speech, one would hope. I mean, it's not required, but one would hope, right? Because that seems to get us to where we want to be, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So let's talk about real quick anything that you want to talk about. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. And yes, people are asking, do I believe that Gates will be confirmed? I hope not. I think that would be a bad reflection on the U.S. Senate leadership. And, if Donald Trump defines loyalty of getting his way 100% all the time, every time, then he's going to have a real difficult time governing, because that's not going to happen. People bring different experience sets. They have different expectations. They don't fall in line as though they are a group of robots. You want strong-willed, independent-thinking people. And if Donald Trump thinks Matt Gaetz is the guy, he's the cat's meow, then go about convincing him. Bring forward the thought process. Highlight what you think is important that he has for this job. That's part of the advise and consent in the Senate. I know that Donald Trump had already talked about trying to do recess appointments in order to circumvent that. Well, when he named Gates, now we understand why. Because he knows, I think, he's a pretty smart guy, that there's no way that he's making it through this process. I just don't see it. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Recess appointments in order to circumvent that.
Mark, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
As he knows, I think. He's...
Turn the radio off.
I got it. Thank you.
So what say you, Mark?
Yes.
I'm losing you, Mark.
Attorneys. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hey, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't hear anybody ever talk about this with the legislature. How with the insurance, when a plaintiff attorney files a lawsuit for damages in an automobile accident, that the medical bills are included in the cost, for the suit. But nobody really knows how much of the medical bill is, say, $100,000, and $80,000 of that could be paid for by the person's own insurance company. But the hidden medical costs are included. Not even the judge or the jury are allowed to hear that. And I don't understand why the legislature won't correct this in our state. Because when an attorney sues and adds $100,000 worth of medical costs to the bill, that medical cost may only be $5,000 to the plaintiff. But it's passed on in the suit. But the jury and the judge are not allowed to hear that. Can you, I don't get it.
Well, I could just tell you from my personal experience in both running in the insurance company inside of the sheriff's office as well as being a claimant, that we were very proactive, and there was an obligation of our employees, if there was an accident, to inform us as to whether or not their injuries were as a result of an accident, and then we would file a subrogation claim. So any of the medical that was provided for the plaintiff in a judgment or a settlement or otherwise, it would go to our claim to satisfy the subrogation that we filed, because we were the ones that had put out the money under the health insurance plan for that individual. And the plaintiff, in turn, would not get any of the medical judgment.
But that's not how it works in the court system. When you go to court, you file a claim. That is
how it works. You ask for the dollars.
Okay.
So, because the other theory, just so you'll know, is that as the plaintiff, I've paid for my health insurance. So I should be, if you're going to be the beneficiary as the defendant, there should be something given to me because I've paid for it. And I've paid for a policy. And as you know, during open enrollment, you pay for multiple policies, and you have a choice of multiple policies depending on how much you're willing to pay in premium. And each and every one of them have different benefits aligned with them. So the theory is that why should the defendant be the beneficiary if I have a very rich plan that I decided to purchase? Why should the defendant be the beneficiary of that choice? The defendant should reimburse me the cost of the insurance plan and the reduced cost that I paid for, because I may have had a high deductible plan, and there may be some, I took a restricted formulary, or I may have chosen a restricted panel to drive the cost down. The defendant should not be the beneficiary of that. And that's why a lot of these things happen in court.
I totally agree, but why in the state of Louisiana, for those special circumstances, why is the judge and the jury not allowed to hear that?
Well, I mean, that's that collateral source rule.
They're not allowed to hear what you paid for your policy. That none of that can be brought up. Nothing.
That's the collateral source rule, because they don't want them motivated, the jury's motivated by what insurance you have available to you. They want to know what the ultimate cost would be in paying that cost and holding that defendant liable to that amount. I'm not saying it's a perfect system. In fact, I really don't believe it to be a perfect system. But the fact of the matter is that you don't want to have the plaintiff suffer for what out-of-pocket expenses they have to the benefit of the defendant. The plaintiff is the one who suffered all of the inconveniences and the injury. I'm going through that right now as a result of somebody that ran a red light and hit me. I'm finding out that there's a diminution of value of my vehicle. If I go to sell my car right now, these things get reported to Carfax. Carfax looks at the extent of the damage of the car. You can go to Carfax, and they're going to tell you, you get dinged. You lost this much value. If you didn't have that accident, it's worth X. And if you did, it's worth X minus whatever. Well, why should the defendant get to walk away and not pay me for that? I'm out the value of the investment that I made in that automobile. It wasn't my fault. It was their fault. They don't want to pay that either. And they wonder why people are running to court, because they don't want to pay these things. They very much like to use those third-party evaluators when they work to their and inure to their benefit, but not when they inure to the claimant's benefit. That's a two-way street. You can't have it both ways. But we let them have it both ways. So a lot of this stuff that goes on in court is collateral source, and is really a balance of interest of this game that we're playing with one another. And in the end, everybody suffers as a result thereof. instead of just trying to quantify and delineating what these actual costs should or should not be. Got to get to a break. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Just wanted to point it out, too, that I know the collateral source rule had changed several years back. And I think that you are now limited to the recovery of past medical expenses to the amount actually paid by that third-party insurance company. Still, the subrogation claims are made. And the new statute also adds a 40% recovery for the cost of procurement of that policy, just to, in full transparency. So let's go to James. James, you're up.
Hey, Neil, good morning. Today, about a half hour, within the past half hour, I've heard you say this multiple times, that you don't believe in coincidences. I want to discuss that with you. Let me give you an example of why I believe in coincidences. Back in June, I had an appointment at the Ochsner facility on Veterans in Clearview. Wonderful, magnificent place. And as you walk in, there's a main reception desk, four stations, whatever. So I'm walking in, and I immediately see something I recognized, and that was Steve Gleason in a wheelchair because of his haircut, and I've seen him on TV multiple times before. And I saw him, and I just said, you know, hi, Steve, and he acknowledged that. Now, if I would have walked in maybe 5 minutes plus or minus either way, you know, I wouldn't have seen him. So, to me, that meets the definition of what I think is a coincidence. And I just wanted to get, you know, your thoughts on that and what you do believe.
Hello? Well, I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. I mean, when two or more things happen at the same, you know, at the same time, and it's purely a coincidence, and there's not any downstream implication one way or another to someone. You know, yeah, that's a pure coincidence.
Well, what do you mean?
So, for example, when I say I don't believe in coincidences, my example would be Matt Gaetz resigns from the House of Representatives, and I don't believe it. And he says in order to go through the confirmation process of the AG. Well, he doesn't have to resign immediately. And it's not a coincidence because, and I don't believe in that being a coincidence because I know he's got this ethical investigation that is yet to reveal their report that is soon to be released.
Yes.
And that if he resigns, they will not issue the report. I don't think his resigning relative to becoming the AG is coincidence. Because there's a downstream implication looming out there, and that's what it's all about. So I don't believe in that being a coincidence.
Well, I mean, there's a cause and effect there. I mean, he's looking at the release of a report maybe on Friday. It's going to be highly damaging to him.
Sure.
You know, and this gets into complicated matters here, but there are calls right now for that report to be released to the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee when it goes before a hearing, if it gets that far. But you know, well, I just thought that this, you know, I believe in, you know, randomness. I believe in probabilities.
Oh, sure.
In the example,
I believe in those. I believe in those too. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying in certain incidences like this one, I don't believe in that being a coincidence.
Well,
I believe that there's more to the story. More to the story. You just happened to walk in at the same time that Steve Gleason happened to be in the lobby of Ochsner
Correct.
Hospital. Those
Correct.
Are two random, individualized, random acts. That's purely
yes.
coincidental.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to understand when you make that statement, which you've made many times, that, you know, and sure. Okay, you just cleared it up for me somewhat, that, you know, there's some cause and effect involved. Yeah, you know, Matt Gaetz.
Usually, when I say I don't believe in coincidence, I'm usually referring to something that I'm talking about where there's, you know, folks that want to make it sound like it's a coincidence, but they don't understand what's happening on the other side.
No, there's definitely a cause and a reason why, you know, he resigned, and that was he's about to be embarrassed and exposed. That's sure. You know, why he resigned. So, okay, that's all I was looking for, was an explanation from you as to what, because you've said this many times in the past.
I absolutely do.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're up. What say you?
Hi, Newell. I have a question. Yesterday, I was listening to you talk about the tax law the changes they want to make. Does anybody think about what it's going to do to the retirees who are on a fixed income?
Well, they've tried to deal with that by doubling the exemption. So those that are over 65, for example, you would get a double exemption. I think the first exemption is $25,000. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe the double exemption adds up to $50,000. And then they stack it if you're married. So if your spouse is over that age, you know, that gets stacked, is what I was told as well. So the delta that would have to be covered or overcome to have you lose money by the broadened sales tax base that's out there would be a number far greater than if you were 21. And
well,
that's how they go about protecting the senior citizens.
Yeah, but I only make whatever it is, about $34,000 on Social Security. That's my income, period.
Right. Well,
I haven't really paid any taxes.
So,
actually, I get a refund.
Under their plan right now, you would pay no state income tax that they're proposing. You would not pay state income tax.
Well, last year I got a refund of $141, exactly what I put in the state. But here's my point. Do they realize that we're not going to shop because of all these taxes? We can't afford it.
We
can't afford to put 10% on our...
But I think you paid state income tax last year at some level.
None. I paid none.
Well, then Mike, you're right. Under this plan... And that's what I've encouraged people to do, is to look at their personal experience, where they find themselves. You would be a loser if any of those expanded services that they're willing to tax that you actually engage in, right? Like if laundry or parking or washing your car, you know, car washes or pet grooming if you have a pet, you know, or any of that stuff, you're going to be a loser. You're going to be upside down. If you have cable TV, for example, you lose money.
Netflix.
They're going to charge that streaming service, Netflix. That will be taxable.
Right. And then I'm going to cancel it. And do they realize what's going to happen with the people whose income is like mine? I'm a loser. No matter what happens. And I'm just going to not buy those things anymore. Now they're losing money.
Well, that's true. That is in fact
nobody's
true.
They're not considering that at all. How about giving an exemption to a seniors?
Well, they say that they are. But if you're paying nothing now... based on your Social Security, and you get everything that you paid in, you get it back. What they're giving you with additional exemption is of no moment because you're not paying anything now.
Right.
So you know, the flip side of that ledger, so to speak, you're going to be paying more. So yeah, in your case, I mean, and I'm sure that there are a lot of different, what they would probably refer to as anomalies, you will end up upside down. And I haven't been critical of the plan. I said this the other day. I mean, tax reformation needs to be done. There's no doubt about it. I think we need to spend a little bit more time understanding what consumers are experiencing, how their situation works, gain a better understanding, because I don't know that we've crafted for local government to stay revenue neutral, for consumers to make sure that they're definitely finishing on the plus side or even. You just called in, and it sounds to me like you're going to end up underwater. That's not their intent, as I read the legislation, but I don't think they've accommodated everybody. And I don't know who your legislator is. I would call them.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
These bills, Mike, are under consideration as we speak.
I know.
And some of them passed through the House yesterday. You should figure out who your state rep is and your state senator and give them a call.
Thank you, Newell. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Best of luck to you. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870. Willing to talk about anything you desire. Stay with us. Getting a lot of text about this, a lot of confusion about this tax package. I did want to try to clear up one thing. I don't know the answer, to be quite frank with you, so let me just start out there, but I want to be fair to all sides. I do recall the Secretary Richard Nelson saying, in Mike's case, there's the possibility of him getting back more money because of that exemption of $25,000 or whatever age group he may or may not be in, and the amount of income that he has, that there would be a credit to him as it relates to that number. So, and I don't know if that's ultimately going to be how this works out. Obviously, the devil's in the details, and so I just want to make sure that we're clear on that. Because I said something early on when I misinterpreted the way something was written in one of the bills, which happens a lot, not just with me, with others as well. And I've pored through these bills many, many, many times, and you always miss something. But I'm going to try and get an answer to that. But, you know, it would be nice if we had like a tick sheet, right, that was out there, that could be shared with everybody to gain a better understanding how this ultimately works. Give some examples of folks that are over 65 on a fixed income, only Social Security income. What does it mean? How does it work? What would be the level of exemptions that you would get? Can they be stacked? If you're married, you get them as an individual. Can you stack them if, you know, with your spouse? You're filing a joint return. And if they're confident that that's going to instill voter confidence, one would think that they would be doing this, right? I mean, because this uncertainty is not where you want people to be. You know, so you, it's just kind of interesting. On a text, it says, Newell, in relation to your caller being upside down, reference taxes, if Trump ends federal tax on Social Security, would that be very helpful to seniors? Yeah. I mean, anytime you're not paying the government a percentage of your income, it's certainly going to be beneficial to you. For those that are on fixed income and all they have is their Social Security and they don't have to pay income taxes on that Social Security, that would be huge. Huge for people, you know, that you end up with those dollars tax free. Yeah, so I mean, if Donald Trump can pull that off, it'd be a nice win for the public, quite frankly. You know, and it would be certainly make their life a little bit more comfortable as they're trying to make ends meet. You know, especially where we find ourselves today, where individual food items have kind of parted with where we are from an inflation perspective. And, you know, you're paying so much more. Same thing with gasoline. You know, it'd be nice if gas was a dollar cheaper. You know, most of your new cars that are out there, they suggest strongly for the longevity of your engine to use premium gas. Well, premium gas right now is about a dollar a gallon more than regular gas. So it'd be great if that could come down. So it's going to be interesting to see. Let me see. There's someone texting here that said that he called Representative Schlegel and Cameron Henry straight to voicemail, offices not answering the phones 2 days in a row. If they vote for it, I will lead campaigns to remove them at the next election. I will move my family and business to Florida, where we also own property. Just keep calling. They're in session. So, I mean, you know, a lot, and it's a short timeline, and I know in their defense, they're grabbing all of their employees, and they're up there in Baton Rouge, shuffling paper all over the place, looking at amendments, this, that, and everything else, and it may be one of the reasons. Leave a message. I know I've done that before with both Cameron and Lori, and they've gotten back to me, but these are legitimate questions. You can also send them an email as well. And I know that in both cases, they read their emails as well. But and this is kind of why I brought this up the other day, because I think people, they're having difficulty connecting the dots. And look, I know a lot about this, and I'm having difficulty connecting some of the dots as well. And when I do these back of the envelope calculations, some of them just don't make sense to me, and on many fronts, because one of my big concerns, too, is the proper funding of local government, making sure that they are revenue neutral when we're moving all of this around, because the services that we have come to enjoy that local government delivers definitely impacts the quality of our life. Truly does. All politics are local. The state, the federal government cannot impact our lives, the way we live, the culture of our neighborhoods, of our communities, more than local government. And if they're in a distressed position as a result of something that's done, we need to know about it. Because when we get asked about whether or not we support this, we may not, because we may not be willing to compromise these things. I mean, we have been the beneficiaries of low crime, low response time, responsive parish government, streets that are repaired, sewer systems are repaired, a water system that works. Do we have hiccups? Yes, it's machinery. You know, it's part of the infrastructure. You're going to have hiccups. But for the most part, the proficiency rate that we experience here is really high. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, whether or not we are making sure, whether or not our elected officials from Jefferson Parish, from Orleans Parish, from the respective parishes, are looking out for the best interests of their constituents, both individually as it relates to their state income taxes and the financing of their local government. There's two equally important issues that are looming out there for us. The governor said to me on this show that he wants to make sure that in the end, the balance sheet works out. He doesn't care how. What's in, what's out, just as long as it works out and people are not hurt. I have to take him at his word. But I think there are folks that are suspicious and might be a little bit skeptical of that. That may be his intent, but it's always about where the rubber meets the road. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll talk about the Louisiana State Police arrest and the Attorney General prosecution since June. Plus, NOPD has just released the PIB investigative reports involving Jeffrey Vapi dining and drinking at Tableau and Doris Metropolitan. And we'll also talk about NOPD promotions and what Chief Kirkpatrick is setting out to do. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.